Welcome back, guys. Week two of Group Connect. If we haven't met yet, my name is Luke Crabb. I'm on staff here with Paradigm. I hope you guys have enjoyed the 48 hours we got of fall, because if you live in the Midwest, that's about all you get. Last night at Awaken, it was freezing cold, and it just feels like fall's back. Chiefs lost a game they should have won, so hey, we're back. But hey, whenever I think about fall, I get a little bit fired up. You know, you feel that seasons change, and I think, man, the holidays, they're coming up. And what I think of when the holidays come around is I'm about to go see my family. And I don't know about you guys, I'm sure you know a family like this, but with my family, there's two things when you walk in my house. You're going to eat food, and you're going to talk, okay? Now, my mama, we don't eat a ton, but she cooks enough for like a small army. I'm not exaggerating. Like if the neighborhood needs food, we got them for the next week. And my mom, she also like asks enough questions. It's almost like you're being investigated by the FBI. And we all know a mom like this. It's not like my mom's the only one, but I want to play out two scenarios this morning of how this could play out. Let's say I invite you over to my house and my mom, she would come outside, she would greet you, she wants to get to know you, she's been looking forward to this, and she's prepared a meal. And you walk up, and she cannot wait to meet you, and she asks you all these questions, and she wants to hear what you have to say, but you don't say anything, and you just go in, and you sit there quietly, and my mom, she keeps asking questions. She's persistent, so she wouldn't give up. She would keep asking questions, but you don't answer any of the questions, but you eat the meal. And you eat a lot of the meal. And you leave, and my mom, she would be offended. Like she wanted to get to know you, not just to come over, eat the food, and then leave. She wanted to talk. That's part of it when you come to the Crabb household. The other scenario is that you would come over, my mom would rush outside, and you guys would talk. You'd talk the whole time, and you'd come inside for the meal, but you wouldn't take the meal. My mom is like, well, I made this meal just for you. Like let's pretend my mom knows you're coming. She knows you like tacos, and she made tacos just for you. But you don't ever eat the tacos. And I think this is a picture, and I share this because it's a picture of our relationship with God. And just how my mom, she expresses a relationship with people through food, in a conversation, God, he wants to have a relationship with you through his word and in prayer, okay? John 15:5, it's kind of like the verse that people go to when it comes to God pursuing us needing to rely on him, and it actually makes a claim that we can do nothing apart from him. And you're going to hear me reference this verse a couple times, but think about what he's saying here. And this is a blessing that he wants us to pursue him because he's telling us that we can do nothing. So this morning, I'm going to answer three questions. They're there on your handout. It's, why do we need to grow spiritually? How do we feed ourselves? And how does this play out in community? If you guys have a Bible, we're going to go to 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. Give you guys some context of this passage. This is actually, if you're new to church, Paul, he wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. So this brother, he is important. And this is actually the last letter that is in the Bible that he wrote, okay? So he's writing to the community that Timothy's with, but he addresses Timothy because they have this relationship. And if you study the life of Paul, him and Timothy, like, Timothy's his guy. Like, this is the guy he discipled, he invested a lot of time into. He invested into a lot of people, but typically people point to Timothy as like his main disciple. But let's look at this here. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Look what it says here. It says that all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So basically everything is what he's saying, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So point number one, why do we need to grow spiritually? So a lot of times when I read the Bible, I try to put myself in the shoes of the person that received this letter, and let's do that. So Timothy, he's receiving this letter, okay? Paul's writing him. This is like his guy. This is a guy he's relied on. And realistically, if we look at the church at this time, Paul is like the linchpin of this entire operation. Okay, he's planting churches everywhere. He's kind of like a psycho for the gospel. Like, he's willing to do whatever it takes to get the message of Jesus out there. And Timothy knows he's in chains and he's about to die. Okay, so Timothy's kind of like, okay, what are we going to do? And he gets this letter, and I can just picture it. He's probably like, okay, we got a letter from Paul. Let's see what it says. And look at verse 17. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. See, Timothy receives it thinking that Paul's going to give him some crazy thing that he didn't already know. But what Paul is saying is, if you have this book, you have everything that you need. What he's saying is, if you have this book right here, you got everything you need. And Timothy thought there was some special thing about Paul that made him different, but he's like, you got everything you need. You got the Bible. And if I could be honest with you guys, when I get stretched sometimes, like, I don't always run to it. I don't always run to the Bible. Sometimes I run to other things, like thinking, man, something's off in the way I'm leading people, so I need to go to a leadership podcast. And I'll run to this leadership podcast thinking that I'm going to get the answer that I need. But man, when I read what Paul, the apostle, the guy that wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, he's saying, run to the Bible. And podcasts, leadership stuff, it's not bad. There's definitely some great stuff out there. But there is no substitute for the Word of God. There's just not. And I'm thinking, I try to like go back to this situation that Timothy finds himself in. And I think of it kind of like this, a parallel for us. If you go to Abundant Life, it would be like Phil Hopper, Pastor Phil. If Pastor Phil wrote a letter to us like this, like Pastor Phil, he does a lot of ministry. I mean, when there's a big thing, he gets involved. And when I think about it, it's like, man, Pastor Phil, he's the real deal for sure. But he isn't Paul, okay? Think about how extreme this is, what Paul is saying to Timothy. He's saying that, like, you have everything that you need. And to be fair to Pastor Phil, he said the same thing to me as well, that I have everything I need with the Word of God. But it's just it's a really good similar situation that you can see here. And Paul just tells him, you guys, you have everything that you need. And some of you are sitting in your chair right now and you're like, I thought this was Group Connect. I thought we were going to talk about community. And let me explain something. If you want to do community, you better read your Bible. Because community starts with yourself first. Okay, we cannot do biblical community without the Bible. It just makes sense, right? It's in the name, biblical community. You need to read your Bible. And to be honest, guys, we go through these seasons where maybe we're reading the Bible. Like I get in the Word and I'm doing it, but I just don't really believe what it says. Like, I'm kind of going through the motions. I pick it up, I read it. I'm like, all right, I'll put that away and then go out throughout my day. And think about the verse I've already referenced, John 15:5. And wrestle with this right now in your chair where you're sitting. Think about what he says. You can do nothing apart from me. He's saying you can do nothing of eternal value without me. Do we really believe that? Like, do I believe that every day? I know I go through seasons where I'm like, I got this. I got it. I can handle it. That dependency, it's just not always there. So why is growing spiritually a necessity as a follower of Christ? Because we need to grow. You and I, if we don't learn, apply his scripture, we're essentially disconnected from the vine. And we will not abide daily. John Piper, if you've never listened to John Piper, you should. He's like 80 years old and he's got as much fire as a 16-year-old for Christ. It's crazy. But John Piper uses this comparison to honey when he talks about the Bible. And if you don't know this about honey, honey has no shelf life. Like, it doesn't go bad. It'll crystallize, but you just run water through it and then it's good again. It's crazy. But he uses this comparison and he says that the Word of God is like honey. It never goes bad. Well, that's good. But he says, the problem is we just never get the honey out of the cupboard. What good is honey if it never gets out of the cupboard? And I think that's true of us. And I know that's true of us because in the average American home, there's three Bibles. There's three Bibles. In the average American home, there's three Bibles. And I think if we were reading it and doing what it says, and if we really believe John 15:5, probably look a little bit different. Just a thought. And we all take this book for granted, and I know I do as well. Like, don't hear me saying this like I got it all together. But we also treat our prayer life like this as well. I think sometimes you'll hear people say things like, all we can do is pray. And it's like, man, like, we get to pray to a living God, and we're acting like this is like the JV team or this is C team. Like, we treat it almost like, we've all seen the show Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? And we treat it like phone a friend. Like, it's a little early. I don't want to use this too early. It's not that big of a situation. I'll hold off. And we don't use it. And then whenever it gets bad enough, then we'll start to phone a friend. It's like, who are you going to phone? Well, the creator of the universe. I'll go with him. He might know. And that's how we treat our prayer life. It's like, phone a friend. I'll only phone him whenever it gets bad enough. So the reason, guys, growing spiritually is a necessity is because we're all starving spiritually. That's one of the blanks. We're all starving spiritually, and without a deep prayer life in God's word, we cannot grow. And this is what I know about prayer. On the one hand, it changes things. Like biblically, you can see prayer, petitioning for God's heart, it changes things. But what I've learned is that it also changes me. It changes my heart's desires as well. So dependency is our goal in prayer. And when it comes to this idea of dependency in prayer, we have an example in the Word of God. And look no further than Jesus. In Mark 1, there's this situation, and Jesus' disciples, they're looking for him. And they're like, where did he go? Where did this brother go? And look what it says here, Mark 1:35. Says, and rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, this is talking about Jesus, he departed and went out to a desolate place. And there he prayed. So Jesus, who has a direct relationship with God, is constantly in prayer. Like, look for it. If you get a chance today, or this week, look through your Bible and look at how many times Jesus prays. Okay? He's literally part of the Trinity, and he's constantly communicating to God. I can't say that about me. Sometimes, like, this is what I'm learning whenever I come up here and I give a talk or whatever it is. I'd be convicting myself. Like, I'm like, I'm not doing that. Why am I up here saying this? And we all could pray more, right? The Bible literally says to pray continually. So nobody is hitting the mark on this. I'm sorry, but nobody is. We could all pray more. But dependency, it's the goal. And this is something else. What if the best indicator of our faith is things that happen behind closed doors? What if the best indicator of our faith are things that happen behind closed doors? See, reading the Bible, you can actually read the Bible for selfish reasons. Because you're going to be asked these questions. What are you learning from God? What are you learning from God? And you can sound smart. You can be like, man, this Greek word and Spurgeon, and I read this commentary, and it's this weird thing where you make it about you. Like, you're reading God's word to sound smart. It's jacked up, and I've caught myself doing it. Like, we all will do this at some point. See, but with your prayer life, you can't do this. Your motivation to read God's word could be that you're going to be held accountable, and God is never after the action. He's always after the heart. So your prayer life, with the door closed, what would motivate you to get on your knees and to pray? Nobody knows. See, I'm convinced our prayer life, it could be our greatest indicator of our faith. Think about it. What is prayer? You're bowing your head and you're saying, like, I have no control. Like, I literally need God to move in this situation. That is complete faith, right? Like, what could you do that's more faithful than that? Like, you're literally saying, I have no control of what's about to happen. I need you to move, God. And some of us in the room, like, we've come to Christ in the last few months, and we've just never been equipped. And I will make it, like, my life's work to make sure that we know how to do the fundamentals. Never assume that people know how to do this. So point number two, how do I feed my spirit? You never want to assume that people know how to do the fundamentals of the faith. See, a mark of maturity is that you know how to feed yourself. Think about it. A little kid, when they're one of the first things they learn how to do, before they even learn how to walk, is often they know how to feed themselves. And run with me here for a second, but imagine this. After Group Connect, you guys go out to lunch, okay? And a group of you guys, let's pretend the people you're sitting with, you're like, man, I really like these people. Let's go out to lunch. And you go to Taco El Mercadito, and you sit down, and you just sit there. And everybody's eating, and you just sit there, waiting for somebody else to feed you. See, that's weird, right? Like, we think, why? What does that have to do with anything? But a lot of Christians are like that. They show up for an hour and a half on Sunday or maybe Tuesday, and they get fed. Then they go home, and they starve. Then they come back next week, they get fed, then they starve. To say that I want to get into biblical community is to say I want to be held accountable to get into God's word. I want to be held accountable to have a strong prayer life. And the result of this is spiritual transformation. Like, you're not going to read God's word with a humble heart and pray and not grow. Like, you're literally going to grow. Like, the Bible says you will literally grow if you're dependent on me. And here's another issue that with this. Our spirit, guys, it gets fed. Whether you want it to be fed or not, it's going to get fed. Now, you choose what's going to feed it, okay? See, the world, it's going to feed your spirit. For 168 hours a week, you're going to get fed something, okay? Either the world or Christ. What are you going to choose? And we're okay with a 3-minute prayer and 15 minutes in God's word, thinking that we'd be all right. I'd be all right with this. And I do this too, right? Like, this is it, like, we need to depend on Christ more. Dependency this morning, it's the goal. If you want to have a biblical community, dependency should mark your community group. And that's a common thing that you'll hear, like, man, I'm just coming here to get fed. I'm just coming here to get fed. I'm just like, that's good, man. I don't really know what to say back to this, but man, like, we're just called to feed ourselves. Like, we got to grow up at some point. Like, you have to feed yourself. We've been following Christ for like 10 years and we don't pick up our Bible. It's like, I love you enough to tell you, man, pick it up and feed yourself. So the enemy, man, he spends 168 hours a week trying to convince you that this world is better than what Christ offers, and it's not. He wants to give you life, and life abundantly. So let's not assume that we know how to do this, all right? So how do you digest and process God's word? You're going to need four things, all right? You need a place, time, tools, and a plan. For me, I'll just walk you through this. For me, I have this place. This place in my house, in my apartment, it's a chair. And I know a lot of people, like, they're coffee shop people. I don't know if I have ADD. I never got checked as a kid. But, like, when I sit down at a coffee shop, I cannot focus. I'll try to get a quiet time there. But I know if I need a good quiet time, I got to get in my old man chair. I sit down in my old man chair, I'm going to get a good quiet time. Okay? So you got to have a place. What's your place that you're going to get into God's word? The second thing is time. If we don't fight for time into God's word, it won't fit in your schedule. I mean, we are all busy, just busy. I got so much going on, I'm busy. And you only get more busy. Like, this is such a truth. Like, I work with Chad, he has 3 kids, and he is busy, okay? Like, I think I'm busy, and I'm just married. Like, if you're single and you think you're busy, like, you just get more busy. So we all are going to be busy. You have to literally schedule this into your life. And I'm not exaggerating whenever I say this. I literally have it scheduled into my week. And I don't say that to boast at all, but I literally believe in this enough to where in my schedule at 6:50, I have a time slot that says abide. And I just abide with Christ during that time. And you have to fight for it. If we don't put it in our schedule, then we just won't get in God's word. The next thing is we need tools. Invest into a good Bible. And I'm not against the Bible app. I think that so many people use it and there's good studies on there. But man, there's just really no substitute for actually having a Bible that you can mark into. Invest into a good one. And if you've just come to Christ, like, get a study Bible. Like, those commentaries at the bottom, man, don't rely on them, but they are so helpful to help you digest the Word of God properly. The last thing that we need is a plan. So if you guys could flip over that handout, there should be some lines on there. And I want you to write down the acrostic S-O-A-P, SOAP. Okay? And this is how we digest the Word of God. Okay? I'm going to walk you through. This is the method that I use. There's several methods to read God's Word, but this is just one that I use. So that S right there, it means study slash scripture, okay? And I think that we'll get into God's Word, but we'll kind of play like Bible roulette. Like, we'll just kind of flip through, and I'm like, how about a psalm today? And then I just go through a psalm, or maybe I go through Matthew 5. I'll just do part of the Sermon on the Mount. And that's okay, but you're not processing God's Word the way He meant it to be. He wants you to study it within its context. So find a book of the Bible. If you've never been told this, the Gospel of John is a really good place to start. Now, the first chapter is kind of hard. There's a couple Johns in there. You'll get that figured out. But John is a good place to start. All right, so study slash scripture. What's going on in the context of the passage is what you're trying to answer with that S. The next one is O, observation. So what are some things that stand out about this passage? What's the context of the passage? That's what you're trying to do. So if you read it, if you read something in the Bible, you're trying to figure out what's really going on. Now, you don't need to be a theologian to do this at all. Like, this is, it's pretty simple. Like, read the words. Don't overthink it. Like, do it reverently because you're approaching God's word, but, like, read it. And, okay, what's going on? Looks like they're fishing and this is going on. Don't overthink this. Application. And I always ask myself this question right here. In light of this passage, how does this apply to my life? See, this is the part that we don't do. And if we did it all the time, our lives would look radically different. And I feel like this burden to say this, the Bible is not, don't miss this, when I say application, the Bible is not a self-help book. Okay? The Bible is not a self-help book. It's about life transformation, okay? It's not about you changing your life to make yourself look better at church or whatever. It's not a self-help book, okay? It's about a spiritual transformation that happens in your life, and it's about the story of Jesus Christ, okay? It's not a self-help book. Last thing is P, prayer. And I ask myself this question within the SOAP method. God, will you help me live out what I just read? God, will you help me live out what I just read? So the next thing, let's talk about prayer. I don't want to assume that anybody knows how to pray or knows how to pray. And honestly, like, I'm going to give you a prayer method that we see biblically, but the best way to pray is to pray. Like, you just need to pray. I love what Matt Chandler says. He just says, pray what you got. Just pray what you got. Don't overthink it. Just pray what you got. But this is the Acts prayer method, and this has been around for a very long time. Acts prayer method, okay? The A stands for adoration. I love what Tim Keller says about adoration. He says that every prayer should finish in adoration. Jesus Christ came and died for you. Like, how are you not going to adore him? No circumstance is too big. You get to spend eternity in heaven. Every prayer at some point should have adoration. So adoration looks like this. Father, you are so good. You're holy. You're perfect. Thank you for who you are. That's adoration. Confession, that's the C. Confess your sin to God. Confess your sin to God. 1 John 1:9 is where we get that from. The T is thanksgiving. Man, thank him for what he's doing. Thank him for what he's doing. He's doing so much in our lives right now. We can't wrap our heads around this, but he is moving all around us right now. And we should thank him for this. Supplication. This is a really churchy word, I'd say. But basically what it means is like you're asking things of God. Think of supplication as, will you supply me with these things, is a way to think of that. But this is just how I digest the Word of God, and this is how I pray. Now, there's several ways to do this, but here's what I know. I have to eat daily. You have to eat daily. You cannot rely on this building to feed you or some guy on stage. I remember when I was reading God's Word, and it literally moves throughout your life. Hebrews 4:12 says that the Word of God is sharper than any double-edged sword. Like, it'll literally cut you up. Just don't test it. It does it 100% of the time. First time I read 1 Peter 3, I was in an airport, and I knew God was telling me through his Word to marry my girlfriend. Like, it just happens. It's like clockwork. I remember praying, and God, I literally had my dream job. Like, it was my dream job out of college. Like, perfectly lined up, made no sense to turn this thing down. I prayed about it, and God said no. Not verbally, but I knew he was telling me, don't take it. And looking back on it now, it's like, man, he was right. Like, I knew exactly what he was doing now. Like, we get to see the full scope of what he was doing. He knew what he wanted me to do. And if we don't take the time to phone a friend and get God involved in our life, like, we just will miss his plan. We're going to miss his plan for our life. We have to pursue him in a relationship through his Word and in prayer. And if we don't, we'll just miss his plan for our life. People ask, like, what is God's plan for my life? Like, have you read the Bible? It's pretty clear, like, what he wants to do with us here. Like, maybe within your context it looks different than me, but the principle's the same. Know him and make him known. Don't overthink this thing, okay? Like, we just have to process what God is trying to tell us. He wrote 66 books, and we just never read it. And it's convicting. I stand up here convicted by my own words because, man, if I believe I can do nothing but I'm not spending time with him, what's wrong with me? It must mean that I just don't take him at his word. I want to give you guys some time to do this on the back of that handout. That's why there's lines on there. If you've been tracking with us on Tuesday nights, we're going through the book of Philippians. We're going to do Philippians 3. If you don't know where to start, or maybe you're in a book right now, we're going to take 7 minutes right now. We're going to read Philippians 3, verses 12 through 21. That's the text this week at Paradigm. So I'd love to have you guys read that for the next 7 minutes, okay? We're going to play music. So for 7 minutes, we're going to take some time and do that. And then I'll bring us back together. We're going to do with just what you guys just did. You're going to break out into groups like we usually do during Group Connect. And you'll just process that time with the people in your group. But when it comes to the Acts prayer method, if you've never prayed in a group, this is just like the first time I prayed out loud, I was so nervous. I was like, what am I going to say? Use the Acts prayer method. It's really simple. It's easy to remember. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. And whenever you have to pray in your community group, it's just a really easy way to pray in front of people. But let's be real. Some of you guys, that's the first meal you've eaten in a while. And I pray that this, right now, this time, it would be a landmarker in your relationship with Christ that right now we would forge spiritual disciplines that would start today. So guys, we want to devote daily. And it's going to look something like this in community. And finally, when we come together to meet as a group, you're going to share what God's been teaching you in his word. And you're going to share what God's been teaching you through prayer. But point number three, how does this play out in community? And we get this literally from the first church, okay? How does this play out in community? Okay, for literally 2,000 years, people have been gathering around God's teaching, and look what it says in Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Okay, the apostles' teaching is what we have in the New Testament, and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. We are not ministry geniuses. We're literally just taking this from Acts 2, okay? Look what it says. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, which is the word of God, to fellowship, so hanging out in groups, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. We're going to pray together. We're going to read God's word together. That's just what we're going to do. Like, we are not reinventing the wheel. This is just what we see in Scripture. So what they would do, they would just show up at a place, and they'd say, all right, well, this is what the apostles are teaching, and we want to be obedient to Christ because he died for us. So what are we going to do? What are we going to do with this? How do we apply this to our life? Something happens whenever you're in a group and this happens, like you see somebody else talking about what they're learning from God and what they're going through, man, it sharpens you so much. I think about the guys that sharpened me the most. They know what's going on in my life. They know that this week, man, I read Psalm 78, and I had no clue that Psalm 78, like, it's like a cheat code for the kids that didn't grow up in church. Like, if you didn't grow up in church, write this down. Psalm 78, it, like, summarizes all the failings of the people in the Old Testament and tells you what God was trying to tell them. Psalm 78, literally, if you did not grow up in church, write it down and go study it, because it got me fired up that God's just confirming what I thought I saw in there. But this is not a Bible study, okay? Like, we are not just showing up in a group and studying God's word, okay? We're not just opening it up and talking about a study. We're not going through a study together in the time. We're asking that you would get into God's word daily. Come to group, and you would process what he's teaching you. Like, man, I read Psalm 78 this week, and what I saw was that, man, the people in the Old Testament, God, he kept showing up, and they just kept forgetting. It makes me think, like, maybe I should start writing down what God's done in my life. I literally just told you what God taught me this week, that quick. And I could go longer, but it's as simple as that, okay? It's not a Bible study. We got to apply what we're learning personally into our lives. And if somebody in your group, this is a side note, if somebody in your group reads Acts 20, we have to change something we're doing in our life. Like Paul, in Acts 20:24, he says, my life is worth nothing to me unless I finish the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying his life's worth nothing. We don't just read that, close it, go home, and change nothing about our life. Nobody in here can say that. Nobody's living this out. We have to change something. Like Paul is saying his life is worth nothing. We have to change how we're living. Like, what do I need to do differently? If I'm going to be able to say I'm walking out what this word is teaching me, but I read that my life is worth nothing, something's got to change, because I know I'm not living like that every single day. So this is what community has to do with reading the Bible. Every time you guys show up to community, you're going to be asked to process what you're learning personally. And you're going to be asked this question right here every week. How have you been growing your spirit this week? And that's when you share. So you bring your notes or however you journal, whether it's an iPad or your phone, and you bring that to your group, and you say, man, I read Psalm 78 this week, and you tell them what you're learning. And don't be offended, or don't feel like you're being attacked when somebody just asks, like, man, how does that apply to you personally? Or just presses a little bit, like, man, I want to make sure that we're not faking it. Man, we need people just to be real sometimes with us, like, man, like, and we're all prone to this, to show up and fake it, because we don't want to be like, hey man, you're not really getting into God's word right now. Like, we don't want that to happen, right? But we need people to call us out on that. So don't be taken back if your group asks clarifying questions and simply is just trying to hold you to what you're signing up to. Like, they're literally just saying, like, hey man, we all signed up for this. This is literally what I want. Like, I want to be held accountable to grow. And the people that I process with, those people that push me the hardest, are the ones that I love the most. I mean, if you don't have conflict in some way in your group, something's probably off. Like, we think that's something to celebrate. Like, man, we're great. We ain't never had any problems. I'm like, you're probably not pushing each other. That's why. And then you got the groups on the other end of the spectrum, but that's a whole nother conversation. So in summary, why do we need to grow spiritually? Because we're starving spiritually. And without a dependent heart, we won't grow. How do you feed yourself spiritually? You need a place, time, tools, and practice the plan of the SOAP method. When it comes to prayer, if you don't know how to pray, use the ACTS prayer method. How does this play out in community? You're going to be asked this question: how have you been growing your spirit this week? We're about to break out into groups, do some discussion. Remember whenever I was talking about my mom just cooking all the time? And I'm not exaggerating that. I'm going to her place to watch some football tonight, and there'll be an obnoxious amount of food. But imagine this. You show up to your group, and one of the girls walks in the door, one of the guys walks in the door, and man, something looks off. Like, they look tired. And you're just like, man, what's wrong? He's like, I haven't ate all week. I haven't had anything to eat. And the brother isn't fasting because you know he ain't that spiritual. And you're like, man, we got to get you a meal, right? Like, you don't chastise him. Like, what are you doing, man? Why have you not ate? What's your issue? You'd be like, bro, we have food here. Let me show you the food. And to be honest, we're lying to ourselves if that's not going to happen in our groups. People are going to show up to your groups who have not abided the way that the scripture calls us to. And we're going to have to ask ourselves this question right now. How are you going to handle that? Are you going to say, what are you doing? No. You point them to the Word of God. You point them to the food. You say, man, like, I love you enough to tell you this is what's to come. If you don't abide, you're going to do nothing of eternal value. The Bible literally says it, and it's perfect. It's from God. And I love you enough to tell you, guy or girl, let me show you what God's Word warns us of. Let me pray, and then we'll finish up. But before I pray, I want to just, like, plead with you guys. Like, this is serious. Like, there's nothing you can do that will change your life as much as getting into God's Word. It's how I came to Christ. Like, I didn't even know. I knew one believer, and she was 1,200 miles away from me. And I came to Christ just reading this book. Like, it's literally infallible. It will change your life. If you let it change your life, it will change your life. And it'll make you the man or the woman of God that God wants you to be. And I mean it. And I just pray that you guys would apply it to your life. Let me pray for you guys real quick. Father, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for community. Thank you for your Word. Thank you for phone a friend. Thank you for direct line of communication to you. Thank you for everything that you've done and all the lives here. I pray that we would be dependent this week, that we wouldn't try to run to a podcast or run to a leadership seminar, whatever it is, God. But I pray that we would run to your Word because you are good. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.